Let us all say amen. Indeed, we serve a very sweet Savior who was willing to die on a cross that you and I might have the right to the tree of life. We serve an awesome God, a God that holds the world in the hollow of his hand, a God that we ought to praise 24/7 in our everyday lives. And when it comes time to assemble ourselves, we ought to be the most excited, the most motivated, the most enthused people on the face of the earth. It was David that would say in Psalms 122 and verse number 1, the Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. You know, you ought to be glad to be here this morning. Amen. It is no accident if you're here. Amen. You are here based upon God's providence. Someone might have invited you, but that was all part of God's plan to get you here. And it's my job, it's my responsibility as a gospel preacher to tell you what God requires of each and every one of us. If you don't make heaven your home, the only person you're going to have to blame is yourself. Because Peter said he's given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him. So it's good to see those of you that are here this morning. Visitors, want to once again welcome you. Hope and pray something can be said from the Word of God that will cause you to think about your soul salvation. I don't know about you, I'm in the soul business. Amen. Amen. My job is to seek and save the lost as Jesus has commanded. And so my message is always with that in mind. I know someone here this morning might need Jesus. Amen. Everyone sitting here needs him. Yeah. Amen. But someone might need to put him on in water baptism. And it's my job to give you what thus saith the Lord. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, round about verse 13 and following, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked men, who do men say that I am? Some say John the Baptist, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus says, but who do you say that I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God. Jesus says, blessed are you, Simon, for Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God left his plan with the apostles. The apostles during the course of time has left the same plan with you and I. And that plan is John chapters 3 and around the verse 16 and 17. The Bible says, for God so loved the world, he did what? Gave what? His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have what? Everlasting life. The Bible says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, Paul said, God demonstrated how much he loved mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had already died on the cross. And this morning I want to talk about that resurrected Christ, that Christ that hung between two twilights. And all he asked of you and I is to obey his commandments. John chapter 14, verse 12. John chapter 15, verses 12 and following. Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And what is his commandment? Luke 19, verse number 10, is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of the truth. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And having said all of that, I want to encourage someone to stop and think about, if he was to call you right now, where would you spend eternity? And if he was to call those of us who have obeyed from the heart the gospel and have been added to the body of Christ, where would you spend eternity? I'm reminded of Jesus saying in Matthew chapter 7 and round about verse number 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of the Father. Jesus said, in that day many will say, Lord, did we not? And then Jesus is going to say, depart. It's not that I don't know you. I never knew you. So if he was to come right now, only you can answer that question. Where would you spend eternity? Is God satisfied with my service to him? And if not, the Bible says for those of us who are part of the body of Christ, you need to repent, get on the right track. Those that are not part of the body of Christ, you need to understand that you need to obey from the heart the gospel, Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. The gospel of Christ, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. The gospel entails the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we are buried in water for the remission of our sins, we are added to the body of Christ, which is the church, Colossians chapter 1. Verse 18, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 22. But this morning's message is a message designed to help those of us who've been in this thing a while. Amen. 6 months into the new year, have you given up? How faithful are you for the past 6 months? So this morning I want to challenge you to take an inventory. Everybody know what an inventory is, huh? Yeah. You don't? Okay, I'll explain it to you. Look in your pocket. If you ain't got no money in your pocket, you can't buy nothing, right?
That's right.
So you take inventory of what you can buy with the dollars you have. Well, this morning I want to challenge us to take inventory. It's been 6 months since the beginning of this new year. Are we still running the race, or have you become a little sluggish, a little tired, or have you just completely given up? Church, I want to encourage our hearts and to remind us that one day he's gonna come. When? I have no idea. But one thing I do know, that when he comes, I'm not gonna be worried about you. I better say it again. I'm not going to be worried about you. That sounds kind of harsh, don't it? Huh? Y'all talk to me. How y'all feeling this morning? Y'all got some strange looks on your face. I know I can't read minds, but boy, if I could read your face, it'll tell a story. But church, this morning I want to encourage us as we labor and work here at this place, don't lose track of what God has placed upon us. Don't allow the world to catch us so much that we don't take the time to give him the glory and the honor that's due him. This morning, as we look at our lesson text, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and round about verse number 24, Paul, as he writes these words to the church at Corinth, reminds the believer that as you run this Christian race, don't get caught up with the cares of this world. You ever got caught up in something?
Oh, yeah.
Anybody in here ever got caught up in something?
Yeah.
Oh, I know the rest of y'all must be lying. See, because church, if you live on this time side of life, Satan knows what it takes to get us caught up. But this morning, I want to encourage us, don't get caught up with Satan and his devices. Don't allow the cares of this world to supersede what you have voluntarily said that you would do. You have been given commandments from the God to seek and save the lost. And church, don't allow the world to catch us up in trying to make a living and forget that this world is just merely a passing through. And I've had to learn that the cares of this world does not mean anything. And it cannot even begin to compare with where I'm going to spend eternity. I guess that's what drives me and what motivates me. You know, this morning I was hurting, but boy, I feel pretty good now. I probably can go to midnight. Y'all ready? but church, that's how it ought to be. See, I'm a firm believer in what the wise man Solomon said. Solomon said, iron sharpens iron.
That's right.
You know what that means? That when you come enthused and motivated, you know what? I can't help but to get excited. When you come ready to serve God, that makes me even that much more ready. And church, and I don't know about you, it's good to see your smiling face.
Amen.
Everybody's supposed to smile. Come on. Well, I got a tough audience this morning. But church, I just want to remind us, don't let the world catch you up. Don't let the world cause you to lose heart, because Jesus said that if we trust him and depend on him, he will give us everything we need on this time side of life. That doesn't mean he's giving you a Rolls Royce.
No.
That doesn't mean he's giving you a mansion. Doesn't mean you're going to win the lottery.
No.
But what it does mean, that when you're hungry, when you're naked, when you stand in need, he will be there to take care of your basic needs. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and round about verse number 24, Paul says, know ye not that they which run in a race all run, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain it. And every man that strive for mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do this to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run, not as uncertainty. So I fight, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Very powerful passage of scripture, because Paul here reminds the believer that we're in a Christian race. And this race is not always run the way you might think it's run. It is not given to the swift. But this race that Paul is talking about is a lifelong race. And the only time you're going to receive the crown is when he calls you from labor to the other side. And so Paul says, as you run this Christian race, you ought to have some certainty about yourself, should you not?
Amen.
You know, how many of us know that we're the light of the world?
Amen.
How many of us know that we're the city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid? See, in this Christian race, God has left you and I responsibility. And that responsibility is to help those that are outside of the ark of safety to come home. So Paul here says he runs, and he runs with some certainty about himself. How many of y'all are planning to get married or are married? Do you have... That's gone. I've got one. Oh, bless you, brother. Paul says that in this Christian race, we are to run this race with certainty. Those of you that are planning to get married or married, you expect the best out of your mate, do you not?
Yes.
And you expect him to provide for you and to run this marriage race with certainty, right?
All right.
And you want him to be the best he can be for you, right? And so therefore, in order for him to be the best he can be for you, or vice versa, they must be the best they can be for the Lord.
Amen.
And I'm learning that when you surrender and let go and let God guide and direct your life, your marriage will be a marriage that you can look back and say, we had a great time. I know some of y'all been married for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years. And, you know, and that speaks, well, y'all read it today. That speaks volumes, though, for an individuals that have weathered the storm. And so Paul here reminds the believer that in this Christian race, there are some things you have to do. Paul says, first and foremost, I run this race not with uncertainty. You think I'm here this morning because I don't think I'm going to heaven? No, I'm here this morning because I know that if I drop dead right now, you don't have to worry about me. I'm going on to paradise to be with the Lord. And see, and that's the certainty that the child of God has to have. And in the process of that certainty, guess what? It plays out in our everyday lives. It plays out that when people need help, we're there. It plays out that when it comes time to seek and save the lost, we're there. Why? Because of who we are and what we have allowed God to do in our everyday life. Paul says, I though so run, not with uncertainty. I fight, not as one that fights with his brother. I mean, that beateth the air. You know, I'm learning, church, that every fight, every battle is just not worth it. Amen. The only fight that I really want to fight is to keep Satan at bay and make my life live for him in a way that gives glory and honor to God. Paul in this lesson text would remind the believer that as you run this Christian race, there ought to be some certainty about what you're doing. First and foremost, we need to always remember that God wants us to worship him the way he requires. Amen. See, I have a way and you have a way, but that way and your way might not be the way God wants. John chapter 4 and verse number 24, the Bible says God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Romans chapter 8 verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are my disciples. Indeed, you'll know the truth. And what will the truth do? It will set you free. 6 months into the new year, I want to encourage us to focus and refocus on our goals, our responsibility that we've set for the Lord. You haven't set any for it? Well, it's about time you set some. God's people need to be faithful. Amen.
Amen.
They need to be prepared, because one day he's coming
And he's going to come in an hour that you will not expect him. And I hope and pray that he will find you ready to receive him. In this Christian race, the Christian must constantly focus and refocus his life in reference to the Word of God. And the only way you're going to do that is you got to have a regular diet of the Word of God. See, you can't just pick this thing up on Sunday morning and think you're ready. No, it's got to be a regular diet. That's why the psalmist would say in Psalms of Vision 1, verses 1 through 6, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, the Bible says he meditates day and night. See, the more we study and meditate and apply the Word of God in our everyday life, the Christian race, I won't say it becomes easy, but you know what? There's some certainty. It might not be easy, but there's some certainty. I'm doing this because I know one day I got to give up this old frail body. One day he's going to call me, and I just want to hear, well done, Stan. You've been faithful over a few, enter into the kingdom of the Lord. In order to run this Christian race, first and foremost, you got to learn to develop the mindset that Christ had. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Jesus had a mindset, and that mindset was that he came to do the will of the Father. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, do we have that same mindset? John chapter 6, verse 38, Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do my will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus came for a purpose. And then Jesus knew that one day life would be over for him. John chapter 9 and verse number 4, Jesus said, I must work the work of him who sent me while it is day, for the night shall come when no man can work. In our Christian work, race, it requires confidence. Amen. Amen. How many of y'all have a job? Amen. Do they look for confidence on your job?
Yeah.
Hmm?
Yeah.
Do they look for commitment on your job?
Yeah.
How about diligence on your job? If you don't have any of those, you might not have a job. But in our Christian race, guess what? The same thing must apply. We must have confidence in this Christian race. In this Christian race, we must have assurance, and we must have boldness in this Christian race, because there'll come a time when the Christian race will be a challenge to you. Amen. I'm learning that Satan knows that if you're in the race to do God's will, he's constantly sitting back trying to figure out, how can I pull you off of your steadfastness? That's why this passage of scripture is so important to the believer. Why? Because it reminds the believer that when God is on your side, what do you worry about? How many of y'all worried this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, because if your face could tell a story and I could read your face, I can tell good and well that you're worried about something. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, come unto me, all that are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your soul. See, those of you that are sitting here this morning that might have some problems, I got the answer. That's right. You ever seen that show, though? The Bible Answer Man? No?
No.
I'm the Bible Answer Man. Amen. I can help you to see that when trials and tribulations come your way, if you will surrender your will to God, he won't take it away, but guess what? He'll make it to where it's not no biggie. Church, and I've learned the only way you're going to get to that stage is you got to run this Christian race with confidence. You got to be assured that no matter what transpires, the God of heaven is going to take care of you. He says, keep yourself free from the love of money.
Amen.
Be content with such things as you've had. For God has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. So with confidence, we say that the Lord is our helper, therefore I shall not fear what man can do unto me. In this Christian race, it requires first and foremost having the mind of Christ. When one has the mind of Christ, one will stay on track in his everyday life. It requires a constant diet, like I've said, of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It is in the Word of God that you and I, as we live our everyday lives, can draw strength, can draw comfort, can draw reassurance, no matter what transpired. The psalmist said in Psalms 119 and round about verse number 97, listen to these words that ought to give each and every one of us confidence and reassurance in who we say we are. I don't know about you. I walk around confident, penny and a nail in my pocket, I'm just as happy as I can be.
Amen.
Because it's not based upon that. It's based upon my relationship with Jehovah. And I know one day he's going to call me. And I've already told him, don't preach long. I like carnations and go on about your business. Why? Because I'm going to go on to glory.
Amen.
What an attitude. And you know, and if we all had that type of attitude, could you imagine what the world would be like? We would be more kind to one another. We would be more loving to one another. And boy, when you make your mad, you just smile and put your... No? Okay. I tried to go there. Look at what the psalmist said. Psalms 119 and verse number 97. The psalmist says, oh, how I love thy law. It is the meditation all the days. Through thy commandments have made me wiser than my enemies. For thy are ever with me. I have more understanding than all the teachers. For thy testimonies are my meditations. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for thy have taught me. How sweet are thy words unto thy taste, yea, sweeter than honey to thy mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Point number two, stay unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a world that's so full of spots? How do you stay on the right track? It requires this regular diet, but it also requires you getting out of the way and let the Spirit of God guide and direct you. God has given us His Spirit, and the purpose of His Spirit is to help the world see that He is alive and well. See, I've learned that because of who God is, I can have confidence and reassurance in who I am. That's right. I have confidence in who I am. Just a little old man with a tie on. Yeah, that's all. But I'm a child of the Most High God. Church, that means something to me. So therefore, I live my life the way He requires me to live it. Does that mean I do everything right? Most of the time. No. No, I don't. But I know that when I mess up, I fess up, and God will put me right back on the right track. Keep ourselves unspotted from this world. How do I do that? James chapter 1 and round about verse number 25. I want to show you how you stay on track in a spotted world. The Bible says in verse number 25, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein and be not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. If any among you seem religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And the way we stay unspotted is with a regular diet of the word. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Paul says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God. And the final point, in order for you to stay on track, you got to look at your calling and you got to exercise yourself every single day in what God has required of us. Those of us who are members of the body of Christ, God expects us to seek and save the lost. He expects us to be faithful, dedicated to Him, not to me. Because if you were dedicated to me, how many of y'all would be with me? That's all right. Let me leave that alone. But I just want to remind you, make your calling an election sure. As we close, look at 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about 5 and following. I'm a firm believer that as a child of God, nothing or no one can move us from our steadfastness. Only yourself. And I'm learning that when you get out of the way, you'd be surprised what God will do for you and what He'll do to you. Look at what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 1 and round about verse number 3. Peter says, according to his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that have called us unto glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us the exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you'll never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he who lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brother, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just a recipe to encourage the hearts of the believer. Paul in this text reminds us we must run the race with confidence, with reassurance, and with dedication. And the only way I'm learning to run this race is I must be obedient to God regardless of what the world says. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus shows the ultimate example of obedience. The Bible says, although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that believed in him. It is through our obedience that helps us to run this Christian race. It is when we keep our eyes focused on the cross and not on one another will help us to stay on track. And I'm learning 6 months into this new year, I'm trying to stay on track.
Amen.
But see, sometimes I look at you, amen, and I get off track. That's when I need a brother or sister to remind me to get back on the right track. I hope and pray I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart. Church, we're in a race. And the race is only going to be won to those that endure to the end. Paul would remind the believers in this text that the race is run to those that look to him, the author and finisher of our faith. Want to encourage you as this week unfolds, as 6 months have already passed away. If you haven't been faithful to the Lord, get on the right track. It's just that simple. It's so simple that we don't do it. That's the part that's scary. It's just that simple. And for those of you that are visiting this morning, I hope and pray I've said something to encourage your heart, and I hope you receive the word in the manner that I've tried to present it. Try to present it with the spirit of love. God, Jesus said he doesn't want anybody to perish, but everyone should come to the acknowledgement of the truth. Those of you that are not members of the body of Christ, you've heard the word this morning. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what it said? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Bible says you got to repent of your sins. And I know you're probably saying, well, when I get this right, I'll come to Jesus. Well, if you could get right, he wouldn't have had to go to the cross.
Amen.
Yeah, he wants you to come just like you are. Luke 13:5. Tell your nay, except you repent, you'll perish. The Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32-33. Jesus says, confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. And all of that brings us unto salvation. We are not saved until we hit the watery grave of baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, there's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Acts chapter 2 and around about verse number 38, when those Jews realized that they had crucified the Christ, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage those of us who have done baptism, take a checkup from the neck up, because there's going to come a time when you're going to stand before God. And my biggest concern as a gospel preacher is I make sure I tell it like it is. So in the day of judgment, I don't have Alex hanging on me. I don't have him hanging on me. I don't have you hanging on me. I can stand before God and say, Lord, I have declared unto them the whole counsel of the word of God. If you're here, whatever your need might be, let it be known as together we stand and sing our song.